Welcome to Your Ultimate Life Podcast, where we help you break free from mediocrity and create a life of purpose, prosperity, and joy. Get your free video series at yourultimatelife.ca.
Hi there, and welcome to this episode of Your Ultimate Life. And you know what? Every day is an episode of Your Ultimate Life if you want it. It's certainly an episode of your life, but is it your ultimate life? Are you living with the purpose, the prosperity, and the joy that you could? You know, I just had a chance to speak with a beautiful, capable, powerful presence embodied as a woman who is in, it doesn't matter where she is. She and I are sharing a spot in August in Phoenix at the IANDS, IANS, International Association of Near-Death Studies. I'm speaking there at their annual meeting to tell about when I died. Now, if you don't know about that and you care or are interested, there are several episodes back in the early 600s, I think, or end of 600s. But you have to go back where I describe in detail that whole experience, and took several episodes to do it. So it's quite a lengthy description because I died. I had a fatal illness and died and met God, the Creator, at the door between life and eternity. Made a conscious choice to come back to finish the work that I was doing. And so anyway, she and I are speaking in an hour slot, and we're sharing it. We're not presenting together. But anyway, I had never met her before other than through an email, and I was just impressed at the love and service that she is giving freely of herself. And many years ago, she also had an experience where she died, and she told me all about it, and I can't wait to hear all the detail that she's going to give when she speaks there in Phoenix. And I was just, the consistency that I see between people that feel called to add good to the world is just amazing. My guess is you have felt that. You have felt the desire to add good to the world. You have felt the yearning to give back, to make a difference, to help people. That's the phrase, right? Oh, I want to help people. And some people go into medical professions or counseling professions or other things in sort of an answer to that yearning. And people do whatever they do in their lives. But since we're built physiologically and spiritually to love and serve each other, that's what we are built to do. That's what our Creator made us to do. That's what we're happiest when we're doing, when we love and serve each other. Anyway, she is giving daily care to the husband of someone she knows. I can't remember exactly the relationship. She's a sports acupuncturist, and she's worked on Olympians and world champions, and the list is impressive and long. And she closed that practice to go give personal care to this person. And she's had a rich and full life. I couldn't even believe all the things that she'd done. 5 different college degrees and, you know, this business and that business. And she's a pilot and a whole bunch of other things. The reason I'm talking about her, maybe someday I'll be able to get her as a guest here on the show. I didn't ask her yet. She might. But that's not the point. The point is, once again, a brand new person has the yearning in their heart to love and serve, and they're embodying that. They're actualizing that. They're doing what they feel called to do. So I'm inviting you to do that. I'm inviting you this moment to, from this moment forward, the minute you hear this show, make a commitment to yourself, to love yourself, to love those around you, to serve with all your heart, with your soul, with the goodness and yearning that's in you. You have it. You are it. You know it. Sometimes life crowds in, often perhaps, and presses on you with bills or illness or unhappiness or mental illness or depression or you know, the death of someone or losing a job or financial hardships or. That doesn't change who you are. You're a divine being with a calling and a desire to do good. The key to our lives isn't not having those challenges. The key is what we do when they happen, because we're all going to have them. And if you want to argue with God later about how come yours were so hard, you know, you're going to be free to do that. I have felt like that. I don't anymore. I'm not going to argue anymore. I would have at one point. I'm going to be grateful. I'm already grateful because all of the things, and if you've listened to my stories, you know what they are, and I've had my share. I'm not saying my life's harder than anyone else's, but I certainly have had my share, and I am grateful for every one of them because they have refined me in the fire and in the furnace. And I know that your hardships, our hardships either ruin us or they refine us. And sometimes they do both, right? Ruin us or refine us. And I have, when they are ruining me, then I felt like complaining bitterly. Now that I have changed. The experiences didn't change. I have allowed them to refine me, to burn away the dross. And it feels way better. And now my feeling is gratitude, not complaint. So that's just an introduction and an invitation. There's a URL on the screen if you're watching the video, and I hope you do. It's called, the URL is www.yourultimatelife.ca. There, I would urge you to go there and get what I have for you there. 5 master keys to creating your ultimate life. They're not for sale, but they do take a lot of work. They take effort and energy. So in the sense of monetarily, they're free, but they're certainly not free from effort. They work. I know it because I've used them and helped many do the same. So that's one thing. Today, I wanted a title today, Slowing Down to Speed Up. We live in a frantic world. And if you look at the news, like right now, as I record this, we're 6 months or so from the election in the United States. And as you know, I live in Canada, but my wife and I are both citizens of both U.S. and Canada, dual national. And so we pay attention to the stuff going on in the U.S. And I can tell you, watching the U.S. frantic dance from up here in another country is pretty weird. But anyway, there's a lot of name-calling and franticness and publicity about this trial and this stumbling and this stupidity and this conspiracy, and it all just feels frantic. And I think it's in the news organization's best interest, all of them, to wind it up, right? Wind it up, wind it up, wind it up. People like drama, so they watch them, and then they gossip and get angry and frustrated and get mad at the other guy, whoever the other guy is, right? That happens. It happens and happens and happens. And the thing about that is it's tiring. Joy, my wife, my beloved angel, you know, she says, I don't even want to watch anybody's news. It's so agitating, right? It is presented and created in a way to agitate, to create feelings and anger and frustration and negativity and indignance and how dare they. And of course, that's done intentionally and that's sad. But that contributes to this whole atmosphere of anxiety. On top of that, we have inflation and economic this, that, and the other. We've got wars in different parts of the world that are, for some people, more important than others. The war in Ukraine particularly is important for us because Joy's father was born there. He grew up outside Kharkiv and was born in Odessa. So that has been important to us since it started 2 years ago, more than 2 years ago now. And so, as you know, we've got a Ukrainian family with us that have fled the country, and it's present. And it's another thing that makes you feel like you have no control, things are frantic, and you're always at the verge of hyperventilating. So today I want to talk about slowing down in order to speed up, because the idea about creating money, purpose, prosperity, and joy, and prosperity, of course, includes all the cash you need to live well and to do good. It feels like the only answer is work harder, more hours, get another job, start a business, launch, work harder. Oh, and then be critical and worry about what others are doing or thinking, and then get choked by someone's social media feed because it looks like they're doing better than you. And, you know, the hyperventilation is overwhelming. Well, living in a frantic way like that is tiring. Nobody would doubt that. You know that. But you also probably feel sometimes, and maybe all the time, like there's no other way. There's no other way. That's all there is grind, hustle more, harder. And eventually I'll get broke through. I'll break through the barriers. I'll pay my dues. I'll show up. Now, there's some of that that is true to the extent that you're not going to be a pro snowboarder if you don't practice. That lady I was just talking to, I mean, she played basketball in college and she was Olympic level stuff. And was ready to participate in the Olympics. Turns out that she wasn't able to, but she was at that level. Well, if you're that level in anything, it's a lot of work, a lot of practice, and a lot of effort, a lot of discipline. But it's discipline that you choose because you're creating a bigger goal. And, you know, I think Mark Twain is credited with saying, you know, if you do something you love for work, you'll never work a day in your life. Well, you're going to have to put in the hours. You're going to have to woodshed. You know, I play the piano, right? And I put in, I can't even tell you how many thousand hours on the piano bench to learn to do what I know how to do and play and love it and write a lot of songs, et cetera, et cetera. But I don't consider any of that a drag. It's fun. It's joyful. It's creative. And I love doing it. So what is your beauty thing? What do you love doing? And I'm not talking about vacation stuff, sitting on the beach and counting clouds. There are things that you love doing. But we have this story that you can't really do that. Only a few people can do what they love. That's nonsense, by the way. The whole foundation of creating your ultimate life is by adding good to the world with your gifts and talents, with the things you love doing. Because you know what I know about you? I know that your most positive and powerful impact in the world, how you can have the most fun, make the most money, and make the biggest impact is doing what you really feel called to do. And you can argue with that if you want, but I've never had a conversation with anyone where we haven't been able to see that that's absolutely true. And if you think it's not true for you, then I invite you to reach out and let's talk. Because always in the context of talking and exploring possibilities, you can always see that no matter what you love to do, your gifts, your talents, your calling, you can both make a huge impact, have fun, and make plenty of cash. Because what you love to do is valuable to some group. It won't be valuable to everybody, but nobody is. All right, so we're back to slowing down to speed up. The notion that you have to be frantic and furious about everything is not true. Focused, yes. Frantic, no. Focused, yes. Frantic, no. Now, here's that. So that's the first thing. Frantic work is tiring and it's not productive. It's flying all over the place, trying this, trying that. And the problem is we don't stick with anything long enough to see if it's really going to work. It doesn't work, you know, in a download and double click, like right now, click, click, click. So, oh, must be the wrong thing. Well, you don't even know that. You know, I've told the story of the orange tree in the backyard in Phoenix. We planted it in the first year. It grew really well. We watered it, took care of it. No fruit. Well, I could have got mad and ripped it out and said, stupid tree. But, you know, if you know that citrus doesn't produce fruit till I think the second or third year, I can't remember, then you're patient, right? And then after that, we started getting really good fruit, succulent oranges. It was beautiful. But that was only patience. And it took, you know, more than 1 year for that fruit to come. So your opportunity is to eliminate the idea that frantic is important, that furious activity is important, focused activity is important. So that's the first thing. We live in a frantic world. It's exhausting, it's tiring, and it's not productive. So stop that. Second is what I call spaghetti, the spaghetti method of earning money. Now, I've been guilty of that, and I think every entrepreneur who starts a business has been guilty of that. and you use it a lot in marketing. You know, it used to be we had things like Yellow Pages, and I'm dating myself, of course. Yellow Pages, newspaper ads, billboards, TV ads, and, you know, door-to-door flyers. And that was about it for marketing your business. Today, you still have door-to-door flyers for local businesses. You still have, you don't have the Yellow Pages anymore. You still have billboards. But everything else is really online. Google search and Yelp and everything else you can do from your desk, from your kitchen table. You can find anything. You can advertise. You can find what you need and see other people's ads. You can do all that. Because that's been made so easy, it's also crowded. And so there are a zillion people. To start with, it seems like there's a zillion people offering what you offer. And so that gives rise to this, again, frantic idea that we have to find the latest, coolest, best strategy. Oh, the new algorithm and the new this and try this and this email thing. And oh, now AI has come. Holy crap. I've got to have AI write all my stuff. And ooh, that'll be better. And then now it makes me tired just saying it. And so we do what I call the spaghetti method of making money, or the spaghetti method of personal improvement, or the spaghetti method of improving your relationship, or the spaghetti method of getting in shape or losing weight or getting, you know, getting back healthy again or whatever. And what I mean by the spaghetti method is we throw a bunch of stuff against the wall and see what sticks. Well, here's the thing. Every time you try a new thing, right? It costs money. You got to buy somebody's system, invest in certain food if it's, you know, for health reasons, or invest in some new system for email marketing or for, you know, Facebook ads or for, oh, now LinkedIn outreaches. And, you know, there's 100 of them. I don't know if there's 100. There's at least 30 or 40 that I can think of and list. And it feels like you got to stay up to the last moment on each of those things, or you're not going to make any money and it's not going to work for you. That is not true. Okay? And here's what you do instead. You slow down. Because when you run at that frantic speed, you miss some really important questions. What are the key actions that will move my needle? Now, whether your needle is making money in business or changing something about your personal life or, you know, trying to create enough money to buy a certain car or house or vacation, there are some important things that have to happen. And what we want is we want to buy some bright, noisy object, bright, shiny object or bright, noisy object that will just sort of solve these problems for us. And they don't. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen any of the episodes of that television series that were on for many years called House. It's a hospital series where a dude named Dr. House, and I never watched it when it was on, but in the last few months, we've started to watch some of the early episodes, and they're all very similar. There's somebody sick that comes in the hospital, and it's really hard to figure out what's going on. And so, you know, it's try this, try this, try this, try this. And it doesn't usually work until they slow down and say, all right, what's really happening? What are really the conditions? What does that say? What does that eliminate? And finally, they come to a thing. And not every episode, but nearly episode, you know, every episode, they find the thing, save the day, et cetera, et cetera. So the same is true for your business or for your personal growth. Throwing every newfangled thing at it just contributes to frantic running around with your, like a chicken with its head cut off, you know, that kind of frantic activity, and it never works. It results in frustration and mostly procrastination and giving up. So spaghetti method doesn't work. It doesn't work for making money. It doesn't work for marketing your business. It doesn't work for creating personal development and improvement. What works instead is slowing down. You notice I'm repeating that because that's the name of the episode, slowing down, taking time to meditate, taking time to list the things that really move the needle. Okay. So for example, if I'm trying to get new clients for a business or a new product that I have, I can go all in on some new marketing gimmick Or I can say, okay, this is a new product. Who is it really for? Like, who would die to have this? And then get serious about figuring out who really, like, why did I create it? What does it really do? And then go through the questions you're familiar with. Where can I find one or two or 10? Where is a concentration of these people likely to be? What are the common characteristics? And it may not be age or gender or any of the typical ones. There may be some other connection. So, for example, I have an acquaintance who has a product and service for people with kids on the spectrum, right? The autism spectrum. And the commonality is that, not a demographic, age, income, gender, or location geographically. And so then the question, if I'm going to market something to them, where would those people be going for information and help? You know, medical professionals, certain websites and things online, certain groups, maybe in support groups in Facebook and other places, meetup groups, you know, so slowing down enough to think about where, what really moves the needle. And I gave a very partial example of one thing, but the key question for you is, if you have a goal to get to your ultimate life, purpose, prosperity, and joy, let's say you're trying to find your life purpose. Well, you have to slow down enough to identify what calls to you. What things have you really enjoyed doing? What things have been in your life, experiences that made you feel, oh, man, that was best thing. We did this and look what we accomplished. What were those things? And what were the common characteristics? And what could I do or create that would allow me to have more of those? So I'll give you my example because I'm familiar with me. I spent 30 years in the energy industry and I, you know, was a manager and then an executive and blah, blah, blah. And I took a radical life shift in 2007 for me to realize that the thing that really calls to me is to be in the service of others, to lift and bless their lives. And when I felt that, and here's how I discovered it, is I healed my own self from decades of depression and mental illness and addictions and other things that accompanied that. I realized that sharing it with others and encouraging them really gave me juice. It was fun. So it didn't feel like work. It felt like joy. And then I thought about past things, and I realized that even during the years I'd struggled with all that stuff, there were some bright spots, and the bright spots were always around music. And it was about helping church or community groups create choirs or orchestras or musicals, musical director, to jump into that and take a bunch of people who were trying to create something and help them do it. Encouragement, support, love, building a place where they could express themselves. I realized I'd been doing some of it here and some of it there, even in the midst of my own personal struggles. And so then when I got busy healing myself from my own mental illness and challenges and seeing the shrinks and doing the things I needed to do, it all sort of came together. And I said, that's what I pick. Now, it didn't come in an Amazon box and it didn't come in a flash of light. It came by me slowing down and looking at the things that made me feel good. And I realized that being a coach, being in the people encouragement business, being a person who wanted really to spend all of my time in love and service and lifting and blessing and talking to people and in reaffirming their greatness and their capability and their power and their opportunity and just being there for them and facilitating, you know, their own growth, that jazzed me the most. So that's what I do. Now, I've written 19 books, you know that. I have 91 songs up on Apple and Amazon and Spotify and all the rest, all kinds of different music, and a lot of them tell stories from the books that I've written. All of that, it doesn't feel like work. It feels like joy. Why? Because it's using my own life experience, my own struggles and pain. It's using those things to love, lift, and bless others. So that's, you do that instead of spaghetti. Slow down. Do some thought. Get a coach, for crying out loud. You know, people resist that. Best thing I ever did. I've had many now over these 16 years since my life changed in 2007. Many coaches, many, many, many. In fact, now I say, who doesn't coach me? Every life experience, every book, every conversation, that conversation I just had with that lady was a great coaching experience for me because I got to witness up close and personal the dedication and love of someone doing their method of adding good to the world. That coaches me, gives me encouragement and power to do stuff, right? Okay, the last thing I want to talk about today for just a minute is just this idea that strategic moves matter. Rome wasn't built in a day. A big, tall building wasn't built in a day. You know, the moving, getting someone on the moon wasn't done in a day. And anything that's worthwhile takes some planning and work and time. And so you're not going to be able to click your fingers and have everything show up. What you are going to be able to do is every single day make a little progress. And so one of the questions I ask myself every day is, my goal this year is to help 250 million people. Yeah, discover who they really are, divine beings capable of anything, and then give them the encouragement, the tools, the teaching, the framework, the books, the programs to realize that and then to create with that so they can create purpose, prosperity, and joy so they can grab their own ultimate life and live it. That's my mission. That's all I do. But I can't do all of that in a day. I can't do all of that in a week. 250 million, I gave myself a year. Daunting task, could be scary, but I don't live in the land of scary anymore. But I'm committed to do that. So what does that mean? That means every day, every single day, I think, how can I move that ball forward even a little? Who can I talk to? What can I say? I'm recording a podcast right now. I'm going to put some videos up on social later today. I'm going to appear on a podcast on someone else's later. Every day, I'm like, okay, what moves the needle? Some days, the needles move a fraction. Some days, the needles move a lot. But the reason the days come where the needles move a lot is because I'm moving the needle every day. So I have a I have a long daily creation warm-up ritual. It takes me 2.5 to 3 hours to warm up every day. Body, spirit, mind, focus, will, love, capability, to bring all that to the game. What is the game? 250 million people. You are one of them. I love you. I encourage you. I invite you fully and completely to connect with me and let's talk about your greatness, about your opportunity, about what you can create right here, right now for your ultimate life. That's what I do. And you do it every day by moving a little. Some days are going to be discouraging. Some days are going to be hard. But the firm commitment comes when you slow down, you make bulletproof decisions. This is who I am, and this is how I show up in the world. The last thing I want to encourage you to do is to read a book. I have a book. It's called Living with Purpose and Power. I have put the formulas in there that I have created and used for myself and others to find and declare your purpose, to create a daily warm-up, morning ritual, call it whatever you want, that makes you powerful and on fire, wildly on fire every day. So, the book Living with Purpose and Power. That's another creation I have for you to give you the tools and capability to build your ultimate life of purpose, prosperity, and joy. That means success, happiness, health, wealth, as high as you want, if you're willing to walk the road. I know you can have anything you want. You can build anything you want, but it isn't going to come. We got to build it. I invite you to love yourself enough to create your ultimate life, to love yourself enough to realize how great and powerful you are. I invite you with all my heart to step forward, all in, and live your ultimate life. Open your
heart in this time. Thank you for listening to today's episode. We hope that you take it deeply into your heart and decide for yourself how you can create anything you desire. If you like what you heard, please subscribe to this podcast and share it with your friends. As always, we'd love to hear your feedback and topic suggestions. Until tomorrow. This is Your Ultimate Life with host Kellen Flukiger. Stand with your heart in the sky and your feet on the ground.